Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at Four. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and T-Mac.
In about 15, 16 minutes, we're going to have Sean Pendergast on from Houston. Because the sports world is circling the drain in Houston. And we want to know what's going on with Deshaun Watson, so we'll dig into that. You know, we talked about it, and we just had Nate Jackson on, Tyler. We all talked about, oh, you know, we got to give Drew Lock time. All right, okay, fair enough. I mean, I did come up with the 37-game dictum, which basically says you need to treat Drew Lock just as if he was a first-round draft
pick. That can't be a dictum if you abandoned it. That's so you true. Can no longer call it a dictum. You came up with a 37-game idea.
Yeah. Right. You know, it's funny because I was hearing, is it Elway? It's kind of like giving Drew an excuse saying like last year, this year was like his rookie year.
Yeah, Elway gave him a lot of excuses in there, but I really didn't read all too much into it. I mean, of course Elway is going to speak complimentary of Drew Lock. He's on his way out the door. He doesn't have anything to do with anything moving forward. Let's be buddies the rest of our lives. I drafted you. You know, it didn't work out. I'll speak kindly of you on the way out the door.
So, okay, there's a certain time that you got to get evaluated if you're going to really make it as a quarterback. All right, you know, okay. What's that same time frame for a coach? How long does a coach get before you kind of know if he's got it or he doesn't got it as a coach?
I think it's similar to players, really. I mean, a couple years and you feel like you know who the guy is, right? I mean, I'm not waiting on anything to figure out who Vic Fangio is. I wasn't waiting on anything with Vance Joseph. You feel like you know who they are, and you've got an expectation of what it's going to be in the future. And if it's anything different, it's just going to surprise you.
Yeah, I mean, why should there be a different standard with the coach than a player?
Money is guaranteed with coaches. That's why. Coaches get every last dollar. If they get fired in the first year, the second year, or the fifth year, they get every last dollar of that contract. Mm. Players, it's very easy to move on from.
Fair enough. So a coach inherently is a first-round pick.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
I mean, you've got a huge commitment to these guys.
Same thing.
Right.
No different.
I mean, you fire a coach every 2 years, goodness, you're going to be on the books for...
You wouldn't cut a first-round draft choice just after 2 years.
Right.
And
yeah.
I'd say a GM, if he's a GM, certainly a first-round draft pick, too, depending on what power he has.
Yep. Peyton's definitely a first-round draft pick. I mean, you got 6 years. You're committed to him for, I'm guessing, close to $30 million, right? I mean, I don't know what the numbers are, but I'm guessing it's going to come in somewhere close to that over 6 years. Of course you're committed to that.
What are you as a coach? You first-round quarterback? You first-round tackle? You first-round linebacker? You first-round what?
You're a first-round quarterback. Yeah, I mean, you've got to...
The coach is that powerful.
You have to really earn the right to get fired. Like, you got to do something really bad to get fired. The organization doesn't want to move on from you. The owner hired you. You are the owner's personal hire. Like,
so if you get fired in less than 3 years as a head coach, that is a disaster.
Yes.
That is the equivalent of drafting a quarterback in the first round and giving up on him.
Yeah, right, right. I mean, it's Paxton Lynch.
It's Paxton Lynch. It is hard to understand somebody who hired that guy that's that important that didn't work out keeping his job, too. And it's funny, when I was listening to Chris Ballard there.
Most of the time they don't, actually.
They shouldn't. When Chris Ballard was like, hey, you think it's easy? You know, drafting a quarterback, it doesn't work out, my butt's on the line. Well, yeah. Yes. So how big of a deal, let me ask you this, how big of a deal is the move by George Payton when he has to make a decision on quarterback coming up? What do you think?
Hold on, say that again.
George Payton is going to make a move on a quarterback, right?
Right.
It's in his hands. Boy, has that been made clear. How big of a deal is it for him, for whatever decision he makes at quarterback in terms of, he's not going to get fired, but like how big of a deal is it to his legacy and what he's trying to do just in general?
Depends on what type of move he makes. If he goes out and he signs Jacoby Brissett or he signs Tyrod Taylor, doesn't mean anything. You just went out and you hired the best competition you could find. If you go out and you trade away 3 first-rounders for Deshaun Watson, it will define your legacy. If you go out and make a move for Matt Stafford, it will define your legacy. You are tied to those guys forever.
Right.
I mean,
kind of scary, right?
You can't really overcome it, right?
You'll never escape it.
No, no. But if you go out and you just sign competition, no big deal.
Everybody will cut you slack on that. We can't get done anyway.
I mean, eventually you're going to have to make the move, whether it's this year, next year, whenever.
Right.
At some point, I shouldn't say it like that. I guess Drew could still find a way to become the guy, but more than likely, at some point, you are going to have to make the move. And so it's whether you feel comfortable with the guys that are available this year or not.
Well, no, he'll have to make the move one way or the other after next year, because Drew's not a first-round guy. You don't have a fifth-year option, and I don't know if you really want him to be playing on the last year of his contract.
Sure, sure.
So, I mean, in most situations, if you really believe in the guy, you don't let him play out through. You give him a deal in most situations.
Yeah, yeah. I would agree with you. Sure, fair point.
I mean, listen, Mariota and Winston, they both got optioned. Okay, that's what you get. Well, they could, because they were first-round picks. You don't have that luxury with Drew. You more or less have to figure out what your future is with Drew at the end of next year. Unless, you know, you pull the Garrett Bowles move, which is awful risky.
I mean, you don't have to. You can go the Mitch Trubisky route. And
you can
just let him play it out. And you say, I don't have any better options right now, so I'm going to let this guy play it out, and I'll figure it out when I have to.
Super risky, but you can. I mean, that is exactly what happened with Brock.
Sure, it's risky, but you don't always have the luxury. I mean, sometimes you're drafting 19 or 20 every year, and you just don't have the ability to go get one of these guys.
You're right.
Circumstance can dictate what you're doing.
You're right. So you got 2 years, really, if you're George Payton, before you really have to do anything that's like,
well,
you got to put your foot down on something.
I will still stand by what you said, because Drew Locke's going to have to prove a point one way or the other. So if you don't go out and find a replacement for Drew Locke after next season, you are saying that I believe in him, right? I mean, you will now be tied to Drew Locke. You won't be tied to whoever you go out and get. You're now tied to making a decision on Drew Locke.
So Payton gets a year. He gets kind of a honeymoon year, I think.
Honestly, it would be very easy. It would be very comfortable for Payton to walk in this building and not really make any significant moves this year.
Right.
Just do the best you can. Draft the best players that are available at number 9.
Right.
Truly go BPA.
Right.
Don't really care about what position it is.
Right.
You aren't tied to Vic Fangio. You are not tied to Drew Locke. Nobody's going to be judging you based off the performances of Vic Fangio or Drew Locke.
Right.
I mean, okay. If you don't have a guy that you're in love with, it would be a very easy, comfortable thing to do to just move forward as is.
Yeah, the crazy thing, if you're George Payton, would be to put a deal together for Deshaun Watson.
Oh, I don't know how I'd call that crazy. I mean,
it is throwing on fourth down if you're Andy Reid.
No, it's not.
Oh,
oh, come on. Going and getting Deshaun Watson, that's not throwing on fourth down.
You're the guy that said, we're going to draft and develop, and we're going to be aggressive and not foolish.
Yeah, I mean, going after Deshaun Watson isn't foolish.
I don't think so either.
I mean, you're going after one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL.
But it's not exactly a draft and develop sort of philosophy. You'd be giving up 3 first-round picks.
No, but I'm not going to hold him to that. That just felt like very cliche speak to me. I mean, what does that philosophy even mean? We're going to draft and develop. We're going to be aggressive yet not reckless. All right. Okay. What does that mean?
It smells like Andy Dalton to me. I think
that's not aggressive.
Well, you'd probably get $7 to $10 million.
Oh, sure.
Or whatever.
Oh, I'm sure he would. Probably more than that.
Well, I tell you what, it is falling apart in Houston. And what is the value of Deshaun Watson? Let's go to Houston. We'll check in with Sean Pendergast, co-host of Payne and Pendergast. And they play a lot of Florida Georgia Line right down there in Houston, y'all. That's next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Do you want to get rocked?
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Nunchopee. That is That's what Philip Rivers signed off with, Nunk Chopi, which means now I begin. Like it?
Carpe diem.
That means live for the day. Nunk Chopi. Hey, Sean Pendergast, co-host of Payne and Pendergast at Sports Radio 610 in Houston. They may be doing some Nunk Chopi. Joining us on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Actually, I don't know if they want to go Nunk Chopi. You don't want to begin again, do you, Sean, with quarterbacks? You want to begin again? You want to get rid of Deshaun Watson?
Hey, God, no. No, what's Latin for what's Latin for 10 more kids? I figure that's what Philip Rivers would be saying.
Right. Well, it's only 9. Don't exaggerate.
What the hell's going on? And by the way, we were digging a little deeper now, too. J.J. Watt wants to get out of there. So I guess where we're going is, first of all, what the hell is going on? And, why don't you start there? What's going on?
Yeah, well, I mean, as anybody who watched this team at all this year knows and looked at the standings, it was not exactly the year that we expected on the field here in Houston. So you start there, and I think, you know, the league probably is, around the league, y'all are well aware of the reasons why that is. It started with the DeAndre Hopkins trade. It really started with making Bill O'Brien the general manager back about a year and a half ago. And then it continued with him gutting the draft and overspending and trading DeAndre Hopkins, doing a bunch of things that were the equivalent of like a 20-team parlay of underdogs. And they would have all had to hit in order for the team to be good this year. And obviously they didn't hit. So you start there. That the product on the field was terrible, and O'Brien got fired 4 weeks into the season. Now, as far as Deshaun Watson goes, he was really, really good this year. He played very, very well. And more importantly, he kept a stiff upper lip about the whole thing. Like, he, you know, stayed very positive. What was at the very least kind of a straw that broke the camel's back appears to be Cal McNair, the owner, involving Deshaun in conversations about the new GM and the new head coach. Cal went to Deshaun. Deshaun didn't go to Cal. Cal went to Deshaun, involved him, said that he would keep him in the loop on any progress that was made, and then just completely blindsided not just Deshaun, but everybody in the organization other than Jack Easterby by jumping on a plane and going and getting Nick Caserio to be the GM. Deshaun found out the same way we all did on Twitter that Nick Caserio was going to be the GM of the football team. So, like anything, guys, it's not probably just that one thing. It's the accumulation of things over time. But that was the one that led to the inevitable smoke that we're getting from Deshaun's side now about him not being happy with the organization. He hasn't requested a trade yet. And depending on who you talk to, you know, this thing is further down the road than some people think. You know, some people think he's never playing for the organization again. Others think that it's just posturing by his agent. At the very least, though, it's a lot of stress for us here in Houston right now.
Yeah, well, where do you stand? I mean, how bad is it? What do you think's going to happen? I've heard various reports that they think that no matter what happens, this can't be repaired.
Yeah, I don't think they're trading him. If that's the case, then there's going to be a pretty long staring contest. And obviously the tipping point, just in terms of the calendar, if the two sides haven't made up, will be the draft. You know, if the... Because the Texans are going to move Deshaun Watson, it's going to be to recoup draft picks. And the only way they know that they're getting, say, top 10 picks out of a deal with Deshaun Watson is to do it before this draft. Otherwise, if you trade him after the draft, then whatever team you're doing the trade with, Deshaun Watson is their quarterback, and chances are they're not going to be picking anywhere near the top 10 moving forward. So so that's a big tipping point. And obviously this hire of whoever the head coach is going to be, I think that'll be a big tell as to where they are with Deshaun Watson. At the very least, if it's Eric Bieniemy, it's going to make for some interesting conversations as to where they're at with Deshaun Watson, because I think Bieniemy is perceived to be at least at or near the top of the list for Deshaun, but I don't think they're trading him. All these teams that are lining up, and I'm guessing in Denver you guys have gone through some scenarios to where Deshaun could wind up as the Broncos quarterback. All these appearances that I do in other cities, it ultimately winds up with me getting a trade offer is if I'm Nick Caserio and I'm making the decision on it. So I don't know if you guys have something in your holster there along those lines, but I've probably done a dozen of these in the last week, and all of them end with a trade offer of some sort.
Well, Sean, it's so funny because I've written down here as value, which is the, you know, what's the value? What's the trade? I guess it's really the same question. What do you want? You're Nick Caserio. We're the Broncos. What do you want? I mean, seriously, what would it be?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think it starts with multiple first round picks.
How many?
I think some of it may depend on the team. Like, obviously, if it's the Jets, they've got the Seahawks number one picks, too. So I would say, like, if it were the Jets, I would say, give us both your twos this year and both your twos next year. If it's a team that only has their number one picks, I would say, like, if it's the Broncos,
yeah.
I would say it's definitely this year, next year, and the following year. Like, that's what the RG3 trade was back in the day to move up three spots to get him was three first-round picks. These trades for Tunsil and Jamal Adams and Jalen Ramsey have been two first-round picks. We're talking about a quarterback here, a really good young quarterback here. So it starts with three first-round picks. Then I'm looking at your young players and going, I want that guy and that guy. And then here's the other thing, guys. If you have cap space, you need to clean up the Bill O'Brien salary cap fiasco for me and take Whitney Mercilus's guaranteed money, take Randall Cobb's guaranteed money, take Eric Murray's guaranteed money, and you're probably saying, who's Eric Murray? We're still saying that here in Houston, and he played here this year. You add all that up, that's about $25 or $30 million in money that we want to see off the books. So there's, if I'm Nick Caserio.
Okay, deal. Yeah, I'm in. Deal. I accept.
I don't accept. That's ridiculous.
That is literally ridiculous. But I see where you're going, though.
Well, who does Deshaun want to play for? Because that also factors into it. He's got the no trade clause. He could say yes or no to whoever he wants to be. So who do you think he would want to play for?
Guys, you know, here's the thing with Deshaun. Like, my hope is he wants to play for Houston, obviously. And I
no,
think
he doesn't.
There's people that. Well, hang on. So if it's not Houston, then we've heard rumblings of Miami. The way Deshaun communicates these days is not directly with the media. It's by liking things on Instagram and tweeting out rap lyrics. I'm not sure if you guys have noticed
that.
We're left to interpret his social media activity. He didn't like an Instagram post the other day that had a New York Post back page on it with his picture. So I guess we can assume the Jets are a team he'd like to go to. Chris Mortensen said the Dolphins. Okay. Atlanta would seem to be a team he'd want to go to. That's his hometown. That's a team he grew up rooting for. They've got the fourth overall pick in the draft. Boy, I sure have got a lot of calls from people in Carolina who would love to have him back in the Carolinas from the days in Clemson. Wow. They have the eighth overall pick in the draft. So, to me, if you're the Texans, it's got to include – here's what it has to include, guys. It has to include some sort of path to get back to having a young franchise quarterback. You know, it's either got to include a pick that gets you one of the top guys in this draft, or it's got to include an actual quarterback in the deal that Texan fans can sell to their fan base as being, you know, 80 cents on the dollar to Deshaun Watson. Because they ain't getting Deshaun Watson in return, obviously.
All right, Sean, we got to run. We really appreciate it. It's a fascinating story. It gives you guys plenty to talk about. It says in your bio on Twitter you're a Sopranos historian. What was Silvio's wife's name?
Silvio's wife, Gabriella.
Oh, my God.
Did Tony get whacked or not? Huh? Did he get whacked or not?
We know he got whacked. We've been through that a million times.
Nice job. Thank you, Sean. Appreciate it. They must be having fun down there in Houston.
Well, of course. I mean, gosh, he just listed about 25 different things that they need to get in order to accept that trade.
Well, let's reflect on it. It kind of rains on the whole Deshaun Watson to Denver parade, but... And we got somebody sticking up for Drew Lock that I like. Nunk Cheppy. It's The Drive on The Fan.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
They play with 12, Greg! Hey, Greg, you can only play with 11, Greg! JT! Don't dance with him. Run him over. Dance with him. You weren't even close to making that play. You got your hand on it.
What a great teammate. Homie, darling, drop. Dude, you ever have your quarterback come yell at you on the sideline after a play?
Nah, man. I'll never forget watching Jay Cutler go over and literally poke Jamarcus Webb. Poked him in the forehead after he gave up a sack. And I'm thinking to myself, everybody in America just watched this on national TV. Dude, Jamarcus, you got to stand up for yourself. Like, holy cow.
He poked him in the
forehead. Poked him in the forehead. Walked up to him on the sideline, poked him in the forehead.
Jamarcus bigger?
A little bit, yeah.
Cutler?
Yeah.
Dude. I got poked in the forehead one time. But the dude who poked me in the forehead was so much bigger than me. There's just nothing. Just went to HR. Let's go to Tommy. Tommy, you're on the fan. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, you guys. Hey. I love you.
Love
you.
You're wonderful. Tommy. I mean, I'm just going to say thank you.
Well, I got the perfect trade for him, but I'm not flexible on it. It's take it or leave it.
All right.
No substitutions.
All right.
First round draft pick this year. First round draft pick next year. Last year's first round draft pick, Jerry Jeudy. The year before, first round draft pick, Noah Fant. Cortland Sutton and Bowles are off the table. Take it or leave it.
All right, Tommy. Appreciate it. Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, talking to Sean Pendergast, he was great there in Houston. And Tommy, I get it. Hey.
You are going to have to give up a...
Like something like that.
You're going to have to give up a star young player in addition to whatever draft picks there are, right? Mm-hmm. It's interesting. It might help. I already forget all the names that Sean told us of the guys that were the high cap hits down there. But that's another interesting way that you could go about it. If you
basketball move,
do the Brock Osweiler, absorb their bad contract deals. We've got some money.
We're gonna have Kliss on here in a second. Kliss actually did a like a salary sort of cap breakdown today. We'll talk to him about it. Like what money they really do have to spend. Don't forget, George Payton said one of the first guys he's got to get with is Rich Hurtado, which is he's the money guy. He's the cap guy.
It was actually the third guy he was going to get with, if we're going to be specific.
It was. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not holding my breath for Deshaun Watson. You kind of think to yourself, like, oh, man, would we give up three first-round picks? It's like, yeah, there's like seven other teams that would be interested who are willing to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like this one, too. I don't know if Deshaun Watson, he hasn't really won. Hey, dude, you're trying to get a guy. The whole people who are wringing their hands like if he's the right guy. Yeah, he's the right guy.
Well, listen, if you're basing Deshaun Watson based off the wins and losses, you just don't know what you're looking at. Plain and simple, you have no idea what you're looking at.
Don't even tell me. Is this what Evans is not? He has not. You got to be kidding. I swear to God, I did not know that. Well, what has he been saying, Richie?
100%. He's been like, well, listen, I just want everybody to pump their brakes a little bit on how effective Deshaun Watson would
you
be if he
got
came here.
To be kidding
because
me.
He hasn't really won all that much. I mean, look at record X and
oh
Y and
God.
Z. And
oh.
I mean, he'd be good, but like, let's
that
hold on.
That is what
I
Mike's mean, saying.
I said it, so I got to stand by it. Lord. Mike Evans doesn't know what he's looking at. I mean, I don't know what to say.
Welcome to the party.
Right.
Mike, what? Oh, my God.
I mean, you're talking about a top five quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah,
as simple as that.
I wasn't even trying to rip on Evans there. Oh, my Lord. I mean, seriously. What seriously would Mike be happy with as a quarterback? Really?
Of course the NFL is a team sport, guys. We understand that. I mean, honestly, John Elway couldn't win on a terrible football team. Peyton Manning... Couldn't win on a terrible, maybe, I don't know.
Well, they got 12 no matter what. That was ridiculous.
As a part of that same conversation, Mike made a point to point out that a couple of years ago, Aaron Rodgers was 7-8-1.
Oh,
so.
My Lord.
Wait, so is Aaron Rodgers not good? What does that mean?
What's
I don't understand.
Well, I think he was saying that a good quarterback on a bad team wouldn't fix the problems that.
Okay,
that we
I mean, I think
fix.
That's fair. I think that's a reasonable point. It honestly is. There are a lot of things going on that are deeper than quarterback, but that doesn't mean you don't want to get the best player at the best, at the most important position in football.
By the way, with Evans and all these other, you know, negative Nancys out there. Yeah, we get it. You add other players. Besides the quarterback, I listen to these ding-dongs, and the one thing they have in common is as if once you do that, you don't do anything else. No, duh.
What happens if you actually build a football team around Deshaun Watson?
What happens
if you don't trade away Hopkins? What happens if you don't do dumb things, right?
Yeah, Josh Allen.
Was he a playoff quarterback when he had a reasonable roster around him? Yeah.
Josh Allen is better because Stephon Diggs is there. Yeah. No, duh. That's what you do. You get the one guy.
Wait, so does Mike Evans not want Deshaun Watson? Like, does he not like Deshaun Watson?
Seriously, I don't know what the hell Mike wants. He doesn't want to draft a quarterback. He doesn't want to get out. If you can get Deshaun Watson, it's ridiculous. The problem isn't if we have what we have stuff, but we probably don't have enough stuff compared to all these other teams. Just stop.
No, you can always come up with enough stuff. It just comes down to Deshaun Watson want to play here or not. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, he'll
you can this. Come up with the stuff. That's not the issue at hand. Every team can come up with whatever it takes to get Deshaun Watson. You just got to be willing to.
Yeah, if I'm the Texans, I probably do. Actually, that's insane. I don't get rid of Deshaun Watson. You know what? Who does he like? I'm sorry, Deshaun.
It's really easy to say that.
You want Leslie Frazier? You want Eric Bieniemy? Who do you want as your coach?
It's really easy to say that, and of course I agree with you. I would never willingly give up Deshaun Watson. But what if you actually believe him? What if he's not bluffing? What if Deshaun Watson isn't going to come to work?
What if he's Le'Veon Bell?
What if he actually puts his foot down, literally does not show up in the building? Then what? You didn't get anything for him, and you don't have a quarterback?
I mean, it's kind of what the Rockies are staring down the barrel with Nolan Arenado.
Well, not really. I mean, Nolan's never threatened to not show up to work.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, I mean, Carmel, all right, that's true. Because even the guys that weren't happy around here showed up for work.
It has to be somebody that's literally saying, I'm not going to play football. I'm not going to be in this building.
Yeah, it's crazy about Carmelo. Even when he was going through everything he was going through, he played lights out. He was amazing, actually.
Right. James Harden found a way to show up to work without showing up to work.
Yep. Showed up at the buffet.
Right.
Figure that out. All right, well, let's get to it. We'll talk to our guy, Mike Kliss. And, where are the Broncos' heads at? What's going on? What kind of room do they have? To me, again, today, this is another, there's just, as much as it would be exciting and be awesome to get Deshaun Watson, the likelihood of it is I feel ridiculous.
Doesn't mean you don't try, though, D-Mac. Does not mean you don't try.
I will talk to Mike Kliss about it next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Chad Brown is going to join us in about a half hour. Mike Kliss is on with us right now. Our 9 News Broncos insider, courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. Are you on a little vacation or something there, Klissy?
No, just made a little road trip up to get the mountains.
What do you do when you take
a... Is that not vacation? What are you doing?
What do you do up there in the mountains? No.
I wouldn't call it a vacation. I would call it you could call it a day trip, maybe. We left our home at 3, and here we are an hour later. We're in Frisco. Wondering what to do.
That's a cool little downtown. I love downtown Frisco.
Yeah, it is.
How are there all restaurants? They got every tents outside, or are they letting people inside, or what does it look like there?
Inside the restaurants. We're about ready to pick one. There's a lot of eclectic type restaurants, you know. There's pub and grubs and little Italian bistros, and it looks pretty neat.
I what was the name of it? 942 something or 941 or there's some number on a, I don't know. Don't go to
Did you like it?
Yeah, I loved it. It was awesome.
Okay.
Awesome. Don't be cheap. Yeah. Don't go to a pub and grub. Go to someplace nice with your lady. You obviously got a lady friend with you.
Yeah, my wife, she deserves
wife.
She deserves something nice. Yeah.
All right. So listen, she's being patient and we're gonna talk Broncos just for a second, let you get back to exploring Frisco and the marina and whatever you wanna do. And I could make a Matt Russell joke, but I won't. I'll just leave it alone, Mike. I will just leave it alone. I'll have some grace. I'll leave it alone. You focus on salary cap space a little bit today, I saw. What is the situation for the Broncos? What are we looking at here in terms of available room?
Well, basically, the only news there is they rolled over $17.9 million, roughly, that they had left over in cap space from this year. So they didn't use $17.9 million. They rolled it over into 2021. So let's say the salary cap. And this past year's salary cap was about $199 million. The anticipation that everyone's been throwing out there is that with the lost revenues, the salary cap will be reduced to $175 million. So every team's got $175 million to spend on their payroll. The Broncos, on top of that $175, let's say that's what it comes in at, would have an additional, you know, $17.9 million or call it an extra $18 million to spend. So they would have $192 million for their payroll in 2021 if, you know, that's what that $175 is what the league-wide cap comes into. And, it, you know, I think with the rollover, the Broncos should be very, very close to what they spent this past year. Mm-hmm. And we'll see what the next, what the new GM wants to do. I would think that, you know, if you're new to a team, you'd want to spend as much to the cap as you can with George Payton. On the other hand, he's talked a lot about the draft and building through the draft, which is a less expensive way to go. I can't wait to see what type of moves he makes this off season, in particular, of course, with the quarterback position.
Yeah, Mike, you've had a chance to chat with George Payton at the presser. I know you had him one-on-one. We had him on our show. You've heard him a number of times now. Have you picked up on any tells on where he might be leaning on some of the bigger decisions and starting with quarterback?
I guess that on quarterback, he wants it. He doesn't want it Drew Lock and Drew Lock alone, you know, to sink or swim on how Lock plays in 2021. He wants an alternative. And, you know, I do not know if that's as big as Deshaun Watson, which would be the obviously the biggest one, or if it's someone like Jameis Winston, who would compete legitimately with Drew Lock, or, and I don't know who this would be, but be your starter, but you want a veteran like, you know, like the Chargers this year had the intention of Tyrod Taylor breaking in Justin Herbert. Now, you know, Tyrod Taylor, you don't want to go there, but someone like that. And I just think it'll be, I do think at minimum, they'll bring in a quarterback as a backup who has a couple years experience as a starter. You know, this past year, Jeff Driskel, you know, he had eight games over two seasons as a starter with the Lions and the Bengals. And he was really more of a number three quarterback most of his career than a number two. I think they're going to get someone this time at minimum who's been mostly a number one and will wind up a number two. It's obviously early, fluid. Who's up right now? You don't know if Deshaun Watson's out there. I'm not thinking the Broncos myself would have much chance at Deshaun Watson the more I look at it.
Yeah, us too.
You know, just first of all, you'd have to give up Locke, right? Here's the trade. Locke, and then one of three players, Judy, Draymond Jones, or Noah Fant would have to be included. And then two first-round draft picks.
Well, I mean, I'd do that in a heartbeat. It's just a matter of whether Deshaun would want to come here. Wouldn't you do that? I would do that in a heartbeat.
Well, and then you've got $35 million, and he's only like $10.5 million this year, but then he's $35 million in 2022, $39 million in 2023. And I guess I wouldn't do that. No, I would not do that. I think that's there's so many holes on this team right now. It's a 5-11 team. It's not.
Wait,
it's a 12-4.
Well, hold on, Mike. I thought we were a sleeping giant.
Well, on offense, you got a chance. On offense, you got a chance to make a quantum leap. Mm-hmm. If these young guys and you get Cortland Sutton back and Locke hits. You know, in the next year, that's where the sleeping giant is. On defense, I think you got to, you know, tear it down. I mean, tear at least half of it down and rebuild it. You've got so many key players that have the unholy trinity of age, injury, and salary. So you got to make some substantial changes on defense.
All right, let me go through a couple things quick with you. Our impression is that Justin Simmons will be a high priority and Justin likely will become the highest, if maybe the second highest paid safety in the game.
You know, I know he Peyton has said that he's going to be a high priority. I guess, you know, that matters some, but it doesn't matter much. It tells you the attitude of the team, but you just said it. I'm not sure they're willing to make him the highest paid safety. See, last year the Broncos made a substantial offer to Justin Simmons. Mm-hmm. They made him an offer that would have made him the number five, number six paid safety in the league. Justin Simmons wanted nothing less than number one. Talk stalled, didn't even, you know, they didn't really negotiate. That was it. And so now Garrett Bowles, you know, everybody talks about how great it was for the Broncos to get Garrett Bowles. Garrett Bowles took number five tackle money. He didn't take number one tackle money. It's always difficult when a guy asks for the number one, the highest paid money at his position. And if Justin Simmons does that again, asks for number one money, I think there's a real chance he'll be tagged again. The tag comes in at 13.7, you know, a second tag, 13.7. You know, there's four or five safeties making $14 million plus. Again, you got that salary cap coming in lower this year. I think it's going to be tricky to get Justin Simmons done, but I also think, I do think one way or the other, he's back. The question is he back on the second tag? Or do they finally work out a deal where $14 million something or other seems like the number to get Justin Simmons back? We'll see if Peyton goes there with it.
Right. You know, what other players might be in jeopardy or might be more secure now that it's George Peyton running the show instead of John Elway?
Jarrell Casey, you know, he's got a non-guaranteed, I think, $13 million, dude, next year. He's on the wrong side of 30. I think he's 31. He missed the whole year. You know, those anybody making money and you're a veteran, you're in, I think you're in, you're vulnerable. A.J. Boye, I would not anticipate him coming back. Before the suspension, he was making 13.5. I think it's down to 11.7. He's on the other side of 30. I do think maybe Bryce Callahan comes back and you cross your fingers at the $7 million number that he has. And then Kareem Jackson's interesting. If you sign Justin Simmons to $14 million plus, Kareem Jackson has a non-guaranteed $10 million, and he's 33 years old. He's going to turn 33 in the spring. And so I would think that's difficult if you're reduced this year to put basically 24, 25 million into two starting safeties, especially if one of them is 33. I would think that Kareem, like Vaughn Miller, would come under the category of want them back, hope to have them back at a restructured, you know, reduced deal.
Well, you left out the big name, though.
Who is that?
Come on now. Vaughn Miller.
Oh, I did. Oh, I just said him.
Oh, okay.
I just said him.
He doesn't listen.
He would fall into the category of Vaughn Miller as far as the, you know, the restructured deal. Vaughn and Kareem, I think, are somewhat in the same category there.
Got anything new on Vaughn? Or are we... Where are we with Vaughn these days?
No, nothing new. Just whatever, you know, everyone reported on Friday. Don't know where that is right now, so I'll leave it there.
Well, all right. Okay, and we will too. All right, Mike, get back to your wife. What are you doing, man? Come on.
Yeah, you know.
Pay some attention.
It's all right.
She deserves some attention from you.
Yeah, well...
No,
if that's what she seeks, I think she just seeks a nice meal out of the deal. So anyway, okay. We'll try to do that for her.
All right. Thanks, Mike. We'll talk to you later.
See you, Mike.
All right. See ya.
There's Mike Kliss, our 9 News Broncos insider, courtesy of Bet River Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. You know, that is true. When you live in Golden, you can just go for an hour drive and be in Frisco.
Yeah.
I wanted to move to Golden.
Benefits being in the foothills, man.
I wanted to move there 16 years ago. Mm.
Well, maybe now's the time, D-Mac.
My wife was the president of the Moms Club. Of, like, Southeast Aurora or something. And
yeah, you can't mess that up.
It's like when I go skiing, it's like, you know what I mean? Like, if I lived in Golden, we'd be home.
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, yeah, I'd be skiing almost every day.
Don't you think?
Right.
And it's that extra, like, 35 to 40 minutes, depending on the traffic to get home.
You feel like you're home, you hit 470, and all of a sudden you just sit in traffic for another hour?
Oh, you just want to... Is that how you go, 470?
Yeah, we do.
I go out 6, but...
I mean, I'm way down south.
I know. That's a long loop, though, man.
It is.
That's a long loop.
I mean, it's really not in miles.
When you hit 470, how long do you have to go to get home?
Oh, if there's no traffic, 30 minutes.
Yeah, I know. It sucks.
If there is traffic, it can be a long time.
Right. Same for me.
Right.
Close. There's Cliss just going up for dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy. He has to drive like 40 minutes to get to Dove Valley. What are you doing? I'm about to do stuff here, Richie. What?
It's not working. Got to fix some stuff.
Oh, I see what Richie's doing.
He never says thank you, does he, Richie?
Yeah. Just figure out where Alabama is, will you? Right. Now I had something queued up. Now I got to do this. I got to, you know, I'm like.
KKF fixed Denver Boulder HD2 Longmont
Denver and stuff.
KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver. Hey. Peyton, you seem to have a coaching moment with the crowd at the 2-minute warning. I know Broncos players, when they fumble, have to carry a ball around. Should the crowd...
I have no problem with our fans. Our fans are great. I got a problem with our scoreboard operator. I got to have a little talk with him. I'm not sure what he's doing. He's, you know, playing music and showing players dancing, getting the crowd fired up when we have the ball. I don't think we should be doing that. I don't think we should be showing, you know, their quarterback on the sideline. I thought that was kind of disrespectful. So our fans are great. Our fans are loud. But the scoreboard operators went into that tonight.
Philip Rivers has retired.
That was rough, man.
That was all about Philip Rivers.
I know. Well, not really, kind of. Philip Rivers just happened to be the quarterback that they showed on the sideline.
Has there been a bigger villain in the past 20 years? Not ever, but in the past 20 years, has there been a bigger villain than Philip Rivers to Broncos fans?
Man, I can't think of one. You know, there's been times where you've had rivalries with Raiders, with Chargers, with the Chiefs, whatever, but one individual guy, man, Philip Rivers has been a legendary competitor for the Denver Broncos. I mean, legendary. Going back to the Jay Cutler stuff, and it probably started right then and there. I don't know if it ever would have felt the same way had he not had the personal kind of beef with Jay Cutler.
Right.
It probably would have, because Philip is such a trash talker. At some point, it would have crossed over, and it probably would have gotten to that point no matter what. But, man, when it started with Cutler and they were both going at each other's sidelines and everything, oh, man, that's as vivid of a personal rivalry as I have in my career.
He hung it up, which does... that did surprise me today.
Yeah.
Because you have to think to yourself, why did he just want to play one more year, and it was one more year with the Colts? Like, logically, wouldn't he have just said, you know, it's been a great run, Chargers, I'm done, we're moving to, you know, I'm going to go coach high school football, which is what he's going
to
do.
Yeah, totally, man. I mean, when he went to Indianapolis, I just assumed he wants to play until the wheels fall off or until they kick him off the team.
I thought
he played good football. They definitely would have welcomed him back if he wanted to play again. They 100% would have wanted him to be their quarterback again.
Right.
I mean, totally surprised he retired.
9 kids. Already has a high school football job lined up in Alabama, even though his family lives in Florida. But we all know Florida and Alabama can be very close to each other.
Duh.
Alabama!
And it's Fairhope, Alabama, which is close to Florida.
Mm.
For all you geography nerds out there, we already knew that.
If you're listening at 3 o'clock, you know the joke here. You know the joke.
Pays to listen to the show and understand all the jokes.
If you weren't listening then, too bad.
we get a lot smarter.
The second chance.
The second time right. we go through things.
Right, right.
But we do want to pay tribute to our guy, Philip Rivers.
Oh, I see what you did.
He's an enemy.
Can't play with 12, Greg! Hey, Greg, you can only play with 11, Greg! JT, don't dance with him. Run him over.
Dance with him.
You weren't even close to making that play. You got your hand on it. You weren't even close. Hey, pooch kick right over here. It's you, 9-9.
Hey, yeah, little blistered things. Awesome.
Hey, hey, hey!
Oh, honey. Oh!
Whoop! Whoop!
Oh, ah, baby! Golly.
Uh-oh. Shoot!
Oh, my gosh.
Shoot! Thank you!
Aggravates the stew out of me.
Sheesh!
Dang. That was a weird little sequence.
Aggravates the stew out of
That's
me.
That's my favorite line in the whole thing.
That's great.
That aggravates the stew out of me.
If you didn't know, the thing that he's
Can't
known...
play with 12, Greg!
He's a trash talker, but he doesn't curse.
Correct. Yes, he is a clean mouth trash talker. Never stops talking. Talks to the refs the entire game. Talks to the opponents the entire... Did you see J.J. Watt's tweet?
No.
Hilarious.
What did he say?
He said he will never forget when they lined up and Philip Rivers started yelling at his linebacker for the Texans and said, hey, you're lined up in the wrong spot. You're blitzing off the left. And J.J. said he was 100% correct that the guy was lined up in the wrong spot. 100% right.
I saw a video.
You're lined up in the wrong spot. Get over there.
A video today where he's mic'd up. Oh, we're going to get Ndamukong and Sue. We're going to get Sue offside. We're going to do this. We're going to do the Delta thing. Delta Dawn, whatever it is.
Right, right.
You know, we're going to do Delta Dawn. Delta Dawn. We're going to do Delta Dawn.
Double
like,
Delta.
Double Delta. Dead. Yeah. And then they did it. And then Sue jumped off. And he goes up to Sue. He goes up to Ndamukong and Sue. Who could kill him? I go, we got you on that one. We set you up on that one there, huh? He goes up and tells Sue, we got you on that one. We set you up.
Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it, man. I've never seen a quarterback walk up to the line of scrimmage and talk trash in the middle of their cadence. Only Philip Rivers.
And he's got that accent, and you'd think he's a big dummy, but he's not. And he uses a Latin phrase as his theme of life. So in his retirement statement that he wrote out, and I'm sure he'll have, you know, some sort of Zoom press conference, but he ended it with Nunc Chopi. And of course that stood out to me. First he listed his 9 kids, and then Nunc Chopi. Now I had no idea. I don't even know if I'm saying it right. But then I looked it up. Nunc Chopi means now I begin.
Hmm. There you go. Perfect.
And I was like, man, all of a sudden, I love Philip Rivers' concept there. What an awesome thing to say on the day of your retirement. Now I begin. And there's other things going on in the world today, too, obviously. But the concept that no matter what you do in your life, no matter where things go, every day could be Nunc Chopi.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know what? I know this is going to be hard for Broncos country to hear, but I have always loved Philip Rivers. I have always said if that was your quarterback, you would think he is the second coming, man. I mean, it's like Bradley Van Pelt. You hate him if he's not your guy, but if he's your guy, oh my gosh, do you love him, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Philip Rivers, the game is going to be a little bit more boring without Philip Rivers out there. It just is.
Well, that's amazing. You go back to when CSU was relevant.
Right.
Right.
Wow, I see what you did there, D-Mac. I'm proud of you.
Shoulder to shoulder.
Right.
Poser.
I mean, don't say anything about the Buffs. That has nothing to do with anything.
I already made my dig.
Right.
Here is Philip Rivers explaining Nunc Chopi.
Hey, a family priest friend of ours gave me that phrase years ago. Nunc Chopi. That's the Alabama version of the Latin.
Alabama Latin.
But it means now I begin. And but it's kind of that never-ending begin. It's beginning again and again and again. You always hear, let's go. You know how many times you hear, let's go? It's another way that maybe it triggers, you know, it's begin again, Nunc Chopi. As a quarterback, it's play to play. You know, you're always starting again, whether it's good or bad. We use it. If you ask, any of my children at home, what's dad's favorite phrase, they would be right on it. It's kind of something I've adopted personally and something I've used in my football career as well.
Come on! And he is going to be a high school coach. He's going to be a great high school coach.
Of course he is.
He said that the thing he'll miss the most are his teammates. And he said there's just nothing like being a teammate.
That's the absolute truth. That's what everybody misses the most. They miss the cards. They miss the locker room. They miss the banter. There's just nowhere in life where you can ever replicate it. We've got about as close to that atmosphere as you could possibly get in corporate America right here at this station doing what we do. But goodness, I mean, this doesn't even touch the surface of what a locker room is.
Nung Cheppy, I was saying it wrong. Nung Cheppy.
Well, he said he was saying it wrong,
I know,
too.
Who knows? That is a pretty positive way to think about things, man. That's, I'm going to embrace that. I'm going to steal that one right there.
I like it. I like it. Now, the fallout is what happens with Indianapolis now.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
What are they going to do at quarterback?
We were just talking about, we didn't think he would retire.
Right.
Because we were saying, oh, man, if you got a draft and you're 19, 20, 21, 22, what are you going to do? The Colts are like, Phillip will be back. Oh, okay. Well, now he's not.
I said if we're going after competition for Drew Lock and not a replacement, Jacoby Brissett would be my guy. Now, that's not necessarily true if we're trying to replace him, but I don't think Jacoby Brissett is available now. I mean, the Colts have to bring him back. What are they going to do? I mean, you got to at least bring him back until you know what your answer is.
By the way, kind of like Andy Reid throwing the ball on fourth down, when you really look at things fairly, it was pretty crazy to go after Peyton Manning all those years ago for the Broncos. Now, I get it.
I don't agree with that. For the same reason I didn't agree with you when you said Phillip Rivers was done, the same reason I didn't agree with you when you said Tom Brady was done.
What if Peyton Manning only played 1 year for the Broncos?
I got it. I mean, you're assuming that you're going to get a one-year championship run. Right?
Huh,
and I think that is worth it. I mean, you feel
eight,
like you're in a championship window.
Well, were they? They were 8-8. They had Tim Tebow.
Oh, I don't know about the Broncos situation, I guess. I mean, you know more about their situation than I do. I was playing at the time. I certainly don't know what that team looked like.
We didn't know they were that good.
But I always think that older quarterbacks that are legendary like that, they got life left. They just got life left. Even if they're playing on their last leg, even if they're not the same player physically, just to have that mind on the field, it is enormous. I mean, that's why I thought Tom Brady was going to have a good year. That's why I thought Phillip Rivers was going to have a good year.
All right, but you do roll the dice, run the risk that they could seriously just tap out after 1 year.
Sure.
Because they've already had their career.
Well, you got to feel like you're in a championship window. You got to feel like you're going to make it count.
You got to
be okay if
they're
gone. The Colts aren't going to regret going after Phillip Rivers. They
don't
regret that.
So?
Why? What was their option? Play Jacoby Brissett? What changed?
I could have tried to go after another
quarterback. They got a great run. They got as close as they possibly could with Phillip Rivers. I mean, they got to the playoffs. He almost beat the Bills. What would there be to regret?
Next year.
Okay, but what would have been different is my point. You would have had Jacoby Brissett playing football. Nothing changed.
I don't know. You go after a different develop Jacoby Brissett. You get him better. You get him reps. You get more out of him. All right, hold on.
You know you're better with Phillip Rivers than Jacoby Brissett, right?
I was just going to ask you that. How much better are you with Phillip Rivers than Jacoby Brissett? Are they not in the playoffs with Jacoby Brissett?
Probably two games. I'm going to say two wins.
Like, when I look at Phillip Rivers here, whatever team gets Matt Ryan, they could be the same exact position as the Colts a year from now.
Oh, I disagree with that. Matt's got more football than that left.
You think? So did Phillip Rivers, you think?
Oh, I mean, Phillip was in year 17.
What year is Matt Ryan in?
I don't know, 11, 12?
Oh, that was more than that. And I don't even want to ask our guys.
I'll look it up.
I do want to ask our guys. I just don't want them to tell me, Matt Ryan's in his 23rd year. Richie's already pissed at me.
Matt Ryan was drafted in 2008. He's going into year 13.
I think that's just the inherent risk with these old guys. Old guys. Old NFL guys. They're not old. They're in their 30s.
He's going into year 14.
It's going into 14?
I'm sorry, what, Richie?
Matt Ryan has played 13 seasons. He's going into year 14.
So you're correcting Tyler?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know.
But I was just doing simple math there.
How old is he?
Now I kind of wanted to. Now I want to verify him. I want to verify what Richie's saying.
He's 35. Are you sure he's 35?
He's 35 in 248 days.
There you go.
He was drafted in 2008. How's he played 13 years?
Well, when you go to his Pro Football Reference page and you just count the seasons of passing stats, there's 13 columns.
Hmm. All right.
You got to count 2008.
I'm not good at math, you know? Blue Ribbon.
Alabama and Florida do have a border.
That's what our research department sounds like. We're getting Chad on here shortly?
Yeah, okay.
Hey, man. Well, first of all, this is why Deshaun Watson is such a rarity, because he's 25. It's ridiculous. And he's got so much time left, and he's so good. Yeah, George Payton, what's he going to do? Stafford is an old 32, man.
My gut tells me George Payton's going to go after the best available free agent, Tyrod Taylor, Jacoby Brissett, something along those lines.
Yeah.
And wait a year until he really has to make a move. That's what my gut tells me.
It really feels like that, because the other selections in the first round are pretty strong at linebacker and corner.
Right, and you got to be, I mean, yes, we are in firing range to move up if we want to, but you've got to be in love with these guys. To move up from 9 to 3, you got to be in love with them. It's not just somebody you like, you got to love them. Do you love Zach Wilson?
No, I don't. I like him. Not 2018. Not the same year.
I like Zach Wilson a lot. I think that he's got a good chance. I probably wouldn't trade up to number 3 for him.
I don't know
if he was there at 9, would I take him? Probably, yeah.
Yeah, but like, come on, man. I mean, there's going to be a Zach Wilson next year.
I mean, it just depends on if you like the guy or not. I mean, I'm not trying to disparage Zach Wilson. He might be the guy.
2018, the Broncos had nothing at quarterback. Nothing. There's no way you can say Drew Lock is nothing. No way. You know, somebody on the text line pointed out to me he's the first.
G-Mac, I would argue on that. And I'm not saying he's nothing. I'm not saying he can't develop.
You think Drew Lock is nothing?
I just said I'm not saying he's nothing.
What is he then?
How many teams, and you never answered this yesterday, so I'm going to make you answer it today. How many teams have a worse quarterback situation than us?
Well, I'd say the Colts are one of them. They don't have Jacoby.
No, they got Jacoby Brissett.
They do not. He's a free agent.
Okay, all right. Fair enough. Fair enough.
I'd say the New Orleans Saints have it worse than us.
No chance.
Because Drew Brees is retiring.
You got Jacksonville. You've got...
Well, I don't even count
Jacksonville.
That.
Jacksonville doesn't count because they've got Trevor Lawrence, right?
Right.
Yeah, so they're not worse.
Yeah.
There's not many.
All right. I didn't say there were a lot. I'd say New England's worse.
So what does that mean?
New England's worse.
If you're bottom five in the league, what does that mean?
Would you rather have Jarrett Stidham or Drew Lock?
Drew Lock.
Me too.
Okay. I mean, we might get to number 5, number 6, but what does that mean? What's that doing for you? What's the difference?
Let me ask you this.
The worst or the fifth worst?
I cannot even believe I'm going to do this because it goes against my better nature. But in terms of the 32 teams last year, how many teams last year out of 32 had a better quarterback situation than the Buffalo Bills? I mean, who was Josh Allen?
You know, 3 or 4 max. 3 or 4 max, depending on how you rate him. Oh, hold on. Are you saying going into this season?
Yeah. Like at this time last year, when the Bills had just been eliminated in overtime by the Houston Tech and
there were probably 10 teams.
Because everybody is ripping on how Josh Allen was so bad and was terrible and, you know, this, that, and just, you know, thank God for the defense. Blah, 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 blah.
I can promise you he wasn't in the bottom 5. I can promise you he wasn't in the bottom 6. So that analogy just does not work.
You think Drew's that bad, huh?
I know that the stats say that. Yes. I know that that's what the stats say.
Yeah, but what do you think? See, this is what George Payton
Here's what I really think. I think best case scenario with Drew Lock, you've got a top 15 quarterback. Best case scenario. So are you satisfied with that?
Oh, man. Top 15 gets you in the playoffs.
That's about it.
And you can win in the playoffs if your defense is good enough. You got some other good players around him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The guys that are ahead are Matt Stafford and Matt Ryan and Deshaun Watson. Other than that, I cannot tell you another guy who's going to get you somebody who's better than top 15 that's out there.
Well, that depends on your evaluation of Zach Wilson, of Justin Fields and company. You're right. You're not going to find it in free agency. The actual true available free agents, I couldn't tell you anybody that I know is better than Drew Lock. I mean, guys you're trading for, yeah, we could find some. But at real, true free agents, it's just competition.
I'm okay with this, by the way. I think drafting a quarterback would be silly this year. I don't love Andy Dalton. I don't love Tyrod Taylor necessarily. Actually, I like Tyrod Taylor more than Andy Dalton.
I can't say it would be silly to draft a quarterback this year. If you know that Drew Lock's max potential is top 15, you get a quarterback as soon as you can. And if you think you can get a guy this year, you do it.
You got a choice to make right here.
Okay.
It's a little embarrassing. You can answer a text right now, or we can go to break, because...
You got to go.
Oh, wait, that might be Chad right there. That might save my bacon right there. I tell you, I hit a little goal today.
Wow.
I don't know if you caught that, but there's a consequence. Chad, you know what? Never mind. Don't worry about anything. We go to Chad Brown. Ah, man, if I just had waited 5 more seconds, I'd have been fine. Crazy. Hi, Chad. Chad Brown joins us courtesy of the Elite Sportsbook at the Red Dolly Casino in Blackhawk. What do you think of George Payton?
I like George Payton. I think he did a great job at the interview. I like the things that I heard from Elway as well about stepping away and stepping back, and I have a tendency to actually believe it. So it seems as if we've got a legit GM who will have legit power.
Did you feel like you were picking up on any tells on quarterback situation, Von Miller, et cetera, any of the big stuff?
You know, I don't think so. I don't think the opening press conference is the place where you break news. You say how great the organization is. You say how lucky you are to have the job. You give credit to those people who helped you get there. But that's not the place to get into all of that information. I know you are reading in between the tea leaves, Tyler,
sure,
about George Payton and his feelings about Drew Lock. I think it doesn't take a football genius to recognize at the very least there needs to be competition brought into that room. So I would at the very least expect that. But I think we'll figure out more as time goes along about what his true intentions are outside of just trying to win the press conference.
You know, he called this team a sleeping giant. I think he might have been pressing a little bit, but okay, let's play the game. What could happen this year for that giant to be awoken?
Ooh, wow. Yeah, see, now that's why I thought he was being maybe overly complimentary. I don't think you get hired by a team and go, man, we got a lot of work to do, unless that team is 1-15 and everyone else knows that situation. But obviously, here in Denver, you know, folks look at the Broncos with very Bronco-colored glasses, and I think they see some things that maybe don't necessarily line up with reality. And that statement was pressing it a little bit too far for me. A sleeping giant sounds as if not just your possible playoff team, but that you are literally on the cusp of dominance and you're going to, you know, be a perennial Super Bowl favorite. That's a step too far. So for me to see what a sleeping giant would look like next year, Tyler, man, and what would have to happen to get there, I'm assuming it would be Drew Lock, unless, you know, there's plans on bringing some big name free agent in, and I'm seeing some of the difficulties with Watson and the number of draft picks you're looking for and Stafford and salary cap and all those kind of things. I think you need, I guess, to answer your question, Tyler, you need Von Miller and Darrell Casey to come back and play well under reduced salaries and be the players that they once were maybe a couple of years back.
You got a favorite quarterback out there to be by Drew's side?
I don't. We've talked about this a number of times, D-Mac, that, you know, it's a tricky situation. Because if you're bringing in somebody to truly compete, then that gets tricky for the psyche of your young quarterback who went into this season thinking he was going to be the franchise guy. Now that'd be a clear note that he's not. So do you go the more Josh McCown way with the guy who's kind of brought in to compete but really brought in to be the veteran experience and, you know, show him some quarterback savvy and how to watch tape and learn all the things that Brett Griffin can't teach you kind of thing. I think it's probably going to be more of the latter than a true competition someone brought in with the goal of that guy beating Drew Lock.
All right, Chad, we got to roll.
Okay.
Hey, are you guys watching CU basketball, by the way? Are you paying attention to what's going on there?
I saw the women beat Stanford, number one team.
The women beat, yes. I did catch some highlights of the women beating Stanford for sure. But, yeah, things are going well up there in the basketball program. Tad Boyle's getting it done, and the women are getting it done for sure.
Yeah, Fran Belibi. She should have been dunking for the Buffaloes, not the stupid Cardinal.
Right.
Throwing out some women's basketball knowledge, Regis in the house. All right, thanks, Chad.
See you, man.
All right, see you guys.
Chad Brown, courtesy of the Elite Sportsbook at the Red Dolly Casino in Blackhawk. If you've got a question for Tyler, Mount Palumbus, speak. 303-713-1043. It's the RamosLaw.com text line. This is The Drive on the Fan.